Let's yes.
Hello, everyone. Great to see you're here tonight, and I'm so glad you're blessed because I've been blessed, and I know my wife has been blessed in the time we've been having with you. Your pastor Ernesto have really been looking after us and blessing us and feeding us. We are so full, and we're really, really thankful for the wonderful hospitality we've been receiving. We're really appreciate all of you faithful saints here in Panmure. You've been coming each night, and we're blessed by the visitors who've come a long, far place away. You've come here from Napier and also close by, but you took a night off and you came here to hear the word of God. And how many of you know God rewards faith?
Yes.
Right? The Bible says that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And there are many who, you know, that they could have come tonight, they didn't, and they miss out because, you know, they didn't express the faith to say, I'm going to overcome to be here, to connect with God, to connect with His people, and be helped. And I want to tell you, God's going to reward your faith tonight and help you. I was encouraged with the last song that we sung. Was along the lines of the sermon that I'm going to preach tonight. And so, again, I feel like I've got the mind of God for us. Let me open up this iPad of mine. I need two hands to do that. We're going to 2 Corinthians 2, looking at verse 11. Again, just one simple verse that I want to use to launch us off. And military forces are constantly looking to create new weapons that will give them the advantage in the event of a war. And the bigger, more powerful nations like the United States, they lead from the front. Then you've got Russia, and you've got China, and you've got India, and you've got these other nations. They are constantly looking to invent and create weapons. And they're spending billions of dollars in research and testing to be able to get the edge so they can strike their enemies before their enemies strike them, right? They want to be able to get their enemies to submit to them so they would have dominion. And in more recent years, there's been a lot of talk of these hypersonic missiles and planes, and these are super fast projectile bombs and planes that go perhaps 10 times faster than the normal planes and missiles. And that's going to give whoever's got them the advantage. They're developing these huge laser weapons. Laser travels at the speed of light. And the stuff that we used to think about in Star Wars that was imaginary, they're creating this kind of stuff. And it's all about giving them the advantage over their enemy. Now, I shared all of that not to glorify war and all of the deadly weaponry, but to alert us of our own need to be aware of our enemy's devices and to combat them accordingly with the weapons that God gives us. And I'm not talking about any human enemy here, but against Satan, right? He's the real adversary, right? He's our real enemy. Your enemy is not your boss who's giving you a hard time. Your enemy is not your family, perhaps, who are pushing against your faith, or friends that are giving you a hard time because you want to say, I live for Jesus, right? Your enemy is Satan. He's the real enemy, and he is God's enemy, and he has weapons. The Bible says that he will form weapons specifically to bring you into submission, right, and to overcome you and to destroy you. He wants to take control of us and have dominion, but we sung tonight, we will overcome. We will overcome. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And so let's firstly look at war, but I want to pray first. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you give us revelation tonight of what the enemy is doing against us, and that we would put into use the weapons that you have given to us to overcome him and to have victory and dominion and to advance the kingdom of God through our lives. God, grant revelation, speak to your people, and break the power of hell, every foothold of hell, to be destroyed tonight in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. So, we're at war. And this is one of the things we have to quickly come to terms with as followers of Jesus Christ, right? You think, but we're just here in church, we're all loving and we care for one another and, you know, peace and, you know, just, of course, right? That's how it is. That's how it is in church. But to live this life as a Christian, the reality is you're at war, right? We might not live in a war zone like the Ukraine where, at the moment there's many buildings that have been turned into rubble, right? There's cities that are destroyed, there's buildings that have come down, that, you know, people step outside and it's all in front of them and they can see the results of the war. We might not see that, right? There's no constant reminder for us like that. We're not hearing constant gunfire or bombs exploding or sirens going off, except perhaps the ambulance and the police and that kind of stuff, right? But we are at war, and it's a spiritual war, and there is an enemy who is trying to destroy us, and at the very least, he's trying to control us and make sure that we can't do him and his kingdom of darkness any damage. The earth is the battleground, and it is a battle that started in heaven and it shifted to earth. And in Revelations 12:7-9, it talks about this. It says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then in verse 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Right? And so he started a fight up in heaven, and God didn't put up with it. He just flicked him out of heaven. Michael, get rid of him. So flicked him out of heaven. And he's down here, angry, and he's brought the war to you and I in this place. He's bringing the war to you and me. And we know the damage he caused in the garden when he deceived Eve. He caused Adam and Eve to eat from the forbidden fruit. He tempted them. They took the bait. He brought death to the world, and he took the dominion off Adam and Eve. He comes, the Bible says, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so that is his agenda. He's not, you know, trying to be friends with us, except to make friends and then destroy us, to lead us astray, to deceive us. He'll come pretending perhaps that he's a good guy in different forms. Sometimes it's in the form of an angel of light, the Bible says. But he's speaking deceptive words. Sometimes it's through the voice of friends and family who are saying things against the path that God has for you. Remember Peter? Peter was saying to Jesus, you shall not go to the cross. No, far be it from you, Lord. And Jesus said to Peter, he loved Peter, but he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Think about this. The serpent slithered into to speak through a disciple, right? That's how cunning and that's how evil the devil is. And any advantage he can get, any foothold, and he uses the flesh, all of that stuff, he's Satan, he's the devil, he's the accuser, he's the enemy, and he brings the war to you and I. And we have to understand the conflict that is going on around us and against us. And here's Paul, the spiritual father of Timothy. He's Tim's the pastor, if you like. And he wrote to him in 2 Timothy 3:4, you therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So here's Paul, he's talking to Timothy and he's painting the Christian life as a battle. He's saying that when you get saved, when I got saved, you know, God didn't, you know, give us some kind of fan and here, you know, here's a nice drink and sit back on this couch here and you're just going to have a holiday all the while you're a Christian. No, the real image of being a Christian is, here's your helmet, make sure you put it on. Here's your gun, right? Here's your armor, strap this on, because you're entering into a battle when you become a Christian, and you have to be prepared. Tim, you've got to understand, you're not just pastoring a church here. You're not just trying to be a good Christian man and a good Christian father yourself. You're involved in a battle, Tim. You've got a real enemy. You're engaged in warfare, and this is true for us. Because you're here tonight, you're just coming to church, you're just trying to live for God. But it's more than that. You're involved in a battle against the demonic that is trying to steer you away from God and to cause you to end up in hell with him. He knows his times is short. So what's he trying to do? He's trying to drag as many people who are made in the image of God to be destroyed with him, because that's what's going to hurt God the most. The devil's coming after you and I because God loves us the most. It's what will hurt him. It's what will hurt God the most. Right? So he's going, just like, you know, if someone hurts one of your family, that's, you know, for every husband, anyone who touches their wife, it's like they're touching the most precious thing to the husband. Hey, you're touching my wife. Don't you dare touch my wife. And it's like, that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to touch the bride of Christ, the church, and he's trying to destroy the church because he wants to hurt God the most, right? And so he tells Timothy, you're going to have to posture yourself correctly, right? If you think that Christianity is just going to be, you know, peaches and cream and just laughs and good times. Look, we have good time. I've been having a good time this week, right? We're going to have a good time fellowshipping with one another. But the Christian life is more than that. And you have to understand you're in a battle. So he tells Timothy, you're going to have to endure. Say that word with me, endure.
Endure.
Okay, that means we got to last through hard times. Difficult times. Things that we don't like. Seasons that we wish were over. It's like, how long is this going to last? When you endure, you stand your ground for as long as it takes. You stay at your post for as long as is necessary. You don't give up. You last. He's going to push back the enemy. He's going to try and delay the victory that God has given to us. But those who endure stand their ground until the end. You have to have an endurance mindset. I'm going to go the full course. I'm going to run the whole track. I'm not going to stop midway. I'm not going to give up before I get to heaven. Can you say amen? An endurance mindset. You also have to refrain from entanglement with the affairs of this life, because that's what the scripture said. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. There are a lot of distractions in this life. There are a lot of things that call for your attention. But the primary focus for the Christian, as you've heard this week and as your pastor's been preaching, and you know, whenever you hear the word of God, you're going to hear, focus on the Father's business. Focus on the will of God. Don't get caught up in the lesser things. Yes, there are necessary things you have to attend to, but your primary focus is the will of God and the worship of God. Don't get entangled. Yes. Don't get distracted with other stuff. This is the main meal, if you like. Don't go for the lesser stuff. So he says, Tim, don't get entangled. And also, you're going to have to remember that you want to please him who enlisted you in his army, right? Jesus, He began, he put faith in you. He authored that faith. He said, I want you to be on my side. You be in my army. He equipped you. He has a mission for you, and we are seeking to please him who enlisted us. Okay, so we're at war, and we have to have an endurance mindset. We have to avoid getting entangled, and we're after pleasing him who enlisted us. So let's talk about the devil's devices tonight and uncover some of them, right? Let's see what he's aiming at against us so we're not caught out. The Bible says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Ignorant is talking about being unaware of, right? It's like you don't know what the devil is throwing at you. Devices speaks about wiles and intentions, thoughts, designs, plans, evil schemes, methods, sly ways, conspiracies. All of these describe the way the enemy thinks and moves and acts. And so he's coming up with things after studying our lives. He's a hunter. He's a prowler. You know, if you go fishing, you get special kind of bait. You know the times that the fish are going to be in the area. You know what kind of line to use, what kind of hook to use, because you've studied what you're trying to catch, and you do all those things that'll help you get what you're after. Okay, and so he studies us. He's planning things. If I put these things in place, I will catch them. He'll see where you failed before, right? And says, oh, that's a weak spot. And he'll note that, and he'll begin to try and set things up in your life to get you. If I can get them thinking like this, if I can get them to view life like this, or if someone treats them this way, then I know I'm going to get this kind of response, and that'll begin the downhill. And so he'll be trying stuff. And so, to help us become aware and know some of Satan's devices, I've devised an acronym using the word devices. Okay, now an acronym, an example of this is ASK, right? You know how Jesus said, ask and keep on asking, right? And you shall you'll receive, seek, and you shall find, knock, K, right? Right? They all start. Ask, seek, knock. That's an acronym. Right? Acronym. So devices, with the letter D, D, the first letter in devices, the weapon that he will use, and believe it or not, it's his choice weapon, right? What would be included as one of the devil's weapons, his prize weapon? There was an old devil who was planning to retire. He put up for auction all the weapons which he'd accumulated over the years. They ranged from envy to laziness to gossip. One of these weapons was worn from frequent use. It was the most expensive weapon of the lot. And when the junior devil asked about it, the old devil proudly introduced this weapon. And he said, it's discouragement. D's for discouragement. See, we need courage in this life that's filled with conflict. It's filled with grief, it's filled with pain, and all of those things require courage. It helps us to face a difficult life, a life of thorns and struggle and toil and pain, and we have to have a courage to keep pressing onwards. And when we are discouraged, we lose the heart to fight on. We want to give up when we're discouraged. We want to surrender to the enemy when we're discouraged. He wants us to be thinking, this is too hard, there's too much involved, I just can't do it. And it's discouragement that takes the energy out of us. And we have to continually walk in encouragement, to encourage ourselves in the Lord as David did. It's always good when you've got brothers and sisters that'll come alongside you and encourage us, right? Remember Barnabas? He was called the son of encouragement. because he had a way of getting around his brothers and sisters and helping them to lift and believe God and to say, we can do this. Right? We ought to all seek to be Barnabases. Right? But you know what? Sometimes there's not going to be a person around that can encourage us. And we have to learn to encourage ourselves in God, like David did. Right? Just because there's no one around to encourage us, that's no excuse for us to stay discouraged. You have to be able to tap into God and say, God, I trust you. I believe in you. I believe in your promises. And when you get that sense of, you know, God's still on the throne, it'll breathe confidence in your life and you can keep living for God. But the devil will use discouragement against us. And it's not like an obvious weapon. It's one of these subtle weapons that just begins to take the energy out of you slowly, and then you realize, man, I've got nothing in the tank anymore. Right? So discouragement, it's a subtle weapon, but he uses it. The second one, E, devices, second letter E, I've used evil here. Notice evil makes up most of the word devil. The devil's full of evil. Right? He's full of evil. He's evil personified. Evil is all of those things that are morally wrong. Anything that is immoral, anything that is corrupt, perverse, wicked, sinful. It travels in thoughts and words and behaviors. Before God judged the world with the flood, he looked down from heaven and the Bible says that he saw the thoughts and intentions of the hearts of men, the minds of men, was continually evil. Right? They were thinking evil. They were thinking wrong. They were thinking bad things. And if the devil can get you to think bad, he will cause you to speak bad and then to behave bad. So we have to realize that some thoughts are bad. Some thoughts are evil. And not every thought is something that you say, okay, yeah, well, that's me. I'm thinking it and that's mine. I remember Pastor Mitchell being, you know, saying, you know, just because the birds fly around your head, it doesn't mean you have to let them make a nest there. Right? And those birds are like thoughts and they're trying to get there and begin to hatch some things, some evil in your head. Shoo them away. There are thoughts of lust and hatred and envy and all sorts of things that we have to say no. We've got to stop it in the thoughts. Some words are bad words, lies and swear words and curses. Right? This is evil. Some actions are bad actions, brawling and drunkenness and criminal behavior and drug use. Right? Just evil, and Satan will appeal to our flesh because that comes naturally to us. When we just react to life circumstances, we often will react with evil. But when we have the Spirit of God in us, we have an option. And we can begin to say, no, that's not right. I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to speak that. And I'm certainly not going to carry that out because it's evil. Right, the Bible says Job, he was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. So that meant he turned his back on evil. Right? Evil kind of presented himself to him in a situation, but because he was an upright man, he turned his back on it. No, I'm not going to be party with you. Right? No way. I'm not going to be partners with you and just we're going to walk together with evil. No. You're not going to be my friend, evil. Right? That's the idea. You shun evil. We have to shun it. If it's a bad thought, we shut it down. If it's a bad word, I'm not using it. If it's a bad action, I'm not doing it, even if everybody else is doing it. So, E is for evil. V is for victim virus. There are two edges to this. See, we can be the victim. We can be the ones that say, I've been hurt. Someone has injured me. Someone has upset me. Someone has troubled my life. And now it begins to define their lives. because of what happened to them, they never move on. They're filled with self-pity. My mum, my dad, my children, my brother, my uncle, my auntie, my boss, my neighbor. They did this to me. And then they begin to live their life in the shadow of that offense. You know, I know a man who never forgave his dad for remarrying after his mother died when he was only 9 years old. So very young, and his dad wanted to move on with life. Never forgave him. His father died and there was no reconciliation with his father. Always remained bitter. Felt that played the victim for all his life. He was defined by that. So we can play the victim, but we can also victimize others. We can harm others and blame others, never forgive others for their wrongs. And this is what's playing out in our text, because there was a man who'd been cast out of the church because of unrepentant sin, and Paul was saying, forgive him, right? And it was in this context where he says to him, you know, listen, we need to be forgiving, because if not, we unleash hell here. We're playing into the devil's hands, and the devil loves for us to live as a victim and to victimize others, but we have to forgive as we're forgiven by God. All right, so V is for victim. I tonight, D-E-V-I, I is for isolation. The devil loves to divide and conquer. If you become separated from the rest of God's people, you put yourself in a place of great danger, right? And so, you know, there's a saying, the banana that leaves the bunch gets skinned. Have you heard that one before? Do you realize that the lion doesn't go for the center of the herd? The lion targets the weak and the straggly ones that are all by themselves. Right? Easy prey. It's the ones that aren't with the rest of the pack that are become the target of the enemy. And he wants us to separate from the flock. And we need each other. We need spiritual family. And so this is the main kind of family, the spiritual family, those who are part of God's family, which is called his church. So that's why you need to be conscious of your relationship to the local church God planted you in. If coming to church is not your habit, or you miss services a lot, that's going to be a problem for you. Right? If you're at a distance, when Peter was following Jesus from a distance, that was a problem. He ended up, he was cursing, I don't know him. He was at a distance. It was only when he got up close that, and with the others, that his faith kicked in again. But when he was at a distance, he became weak. And sometimes believers will take a job that interferes with their attendance, and it always hurts them. Or they go and they live with relatives in this far, far away country. Right? And it's like, well, what about living for God? What about, well, doesn't matter, the family has fought. God's touched them, wants them in church, but they fall back in old habits because they become isolated from the church. And your relationship with good Christian people in church is essential to survive. You can't do it by yourself. Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And he's talking about the fact that, hey, Jesus is returning, and we should be taking our gatherings like this more and more seriously as the days go by. Unfortunately, people are going in the other direction. Instead of getting more and more passionate about the church service, they get so familiar with it. Oh, yeah, I know what's going to happen. And I'm going to have a day off today. Oh, I'm really tired today. Oh, it's a beautiful day. I want to go to the beach. Oh, I want to go to the markets. Oh, there's a big feed going on down over there. You know what I'm talking about. Right? And what ends up happening is, rather than valuing the church gathering, we isolate ourselves. And it opens up the door for the devil to tempt us. And then we end up making other poor decisions. Don't be isolated from God's people. You know, and as a pastor, you're always conscious of people who are there and people who aren't there. And often, you know, the empty seats where people normally like to sit, right? People usually have their favorite seats. And when it's missing, it's like there's a big question mark there. It's like, what's happened? Are they okay? And if it happens once, you know, you don't think too much of it. Maybe they're sick. But when it's a regular thing, it's like there's a problem. There's a question mark there. But our church attendance shouldn't be a question mark. We should be in church that and be like an exclamation mark. Hey, I'm here, right? And make it very, very clear that this is a priority in our lives. And some of you do this very well. You're doing this very well. Perhaps others of you here tonight, you got a lift in that area, right? And it'll be for your benefit when you lift, and you will overcome that particular weapon. C is for curses. And we have to understand the devil as foot soldiers doing his dirty work. There are people who are blinded by the devil, and they're blinded by their own sin, and they engage in demonic spiritual activity to do the enemy's work. In the scripture, it speaks about a man called Balaam. The guy was a witch. He was a warlock. And here's the people of God. They're just living for God. But up on the mountain, there was this evil man who had been hired to speak evil words over God's people because he had demonic power, right? And the Bible says that he who he cursed would be cursed. He had a reputation that he could put curses on people and they would be cursed, right? And so he was employed to curse them. There's a man who is named Johnny Ramirez, and I saw his testimony, and he was part of a witches group. He was a warlock himself, and they would get up every day and pray against churches. They were faithful to morning prayer, but to the devil, right? And we ought to be faithful to morning prayer, but to God, right? Right? They would attempt to curse believers and Christian churches in their areas. And sometimes, you know, that's what you're going to be coming up against. You're going to be coming up against this demonic battle because there's people praying against you. There's people praying against your church. And it will create a barrenness and a frustration and a blockage. Right? But we have to overcome that. Sometimes the curses come in the form of soulish prayers. They're unsaved people or religious people or rebellious people, and they're going to pray to Mary or they're going to pray to their gods. Yeah. Oh, Lord, bless them. But they're praying to a false god, an idol for you and for me, and they're not releasing God's favor and blessing. They're releasing some kind of demonic thing your way. Right? They're seeking to help us to get out of our church down there at the potter's house. And they're sending evil curses our way. Curses can operate through our generation. Sometimes our ancestors, they are engaged in demonic activity that's passed down. Right? They put some, special, they get their local witch doctor and they do certain things, and every culture has that kind of stuff. We've got to break those curses. If we're born out of wedlock, or we have children conceived born out of wedlock, we have to pray and break the curse of illegitimacy. Sometimes there's poverty curses, immorality curses, rebellion, gambling addictions, all of these generational curses that we have to break. We have to stand against these curses in Jesus' name. sometimes send them back and ask God to turn them to blessings.
Yeah.
E, two left here tonight. E's for excess, and I'm referring to the issue of money. In 1 Timothy 6:10, the Bible says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And the enemy uses money to take out many believers. And Jesus said himself, you can't be loyal to two masters. You're either going to serve God or mammon, or which is the god of wealth, right? And so he'll bait them with a job that pays a salary that they feel they can't refuse. Oh man, you can get 100K if you just move way over there. Or they have such a love for the things of this world that they work and work and work so they can get all the goodies of this life. Their houses, their cars, the clothing, the bling, the cars, the BMX bikes, whatever it is, right? And so it's all about the money. It's all about the money. And when it's all about the money, we've just been hit with that torpedo called excess. Right? 1 Timothy 6:6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. And if you want the antidote for mammon in your life, you'll have to employ the tactic the Bible calls tithing.
Yes.
Right? When we faithfully tithe of the blessing that comes our way, every time we're overcoming this strategy of hell against our life. When we give offerings, right? When we show that generosity towards the kingdom of God, the work of God, we are overcoming and not letting this spirit overcome us. We honor God with our first fruits. We break the power of mammon over our lives. We have to purposely invest our resources into the kingdom of God. Now the last one, we're up to devices, the S. S is for sexual sin. And I specifically want to mention this here, and there are other options that I could have used, but this weapon has destroyed many of God's people's lives and destinies. It has destroyed marriages, it has shattered families, it has blown up ministries and entire churches. It has brought judgment on cities and entire civilizations when it hasn't been dealt with, right? And it operates through a Jezebel spirit that seduces God's servants and reduces them to a crust of bread, right? Proverbs 7:21, it says here, "With her enticing speech she caused him to yield, with her flattering lips she seduced him." This spirit of sexual immorality, it's a subtle, snaky thing, and it's seductive, right? It's sly. It's, the Bible says in verse 22 of chapter 7, "Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till an arrow struck his liver as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Now therefore listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death." Right? And so we have to take the temptation of sexual immorality, sexual sin, seriously.
Yes.
Amen. There is, you know, you can recover from it, but it's a painful recovery. Right? God can restore and heal, and he has done that with many people, and he will continue to do that. So I want to speak hope there, but the trouble that it brings is unparalleled. And the Bible tells us to flee sexual immorality. You've got to take this seriously. Remember Joseph when he was tempted by his master's wife. "Come lie with me," she kept on him day after day, to the point where she grabs him by the garment, forcefully wanting her desire to be satisfied, But he didn't allow that. He fled. He got out of that place when he felt threatened, when he felt this is not good and this is going to go bad. How can I sin against God and against my master? How can I sin against my family? And how can I do this thing? And he got out of there as quickly as possible. Now, I know that here the focus often can be men, but can I also say, women, you too have to be careful. Because it's not just targeting men, it targets women. It targets the lonely woman that is longing for that natural affection, the natural companionship, and here Mr. Sly Guy comes along and he's putting on the moves and the smiles and say, hey, you'll be happy with me, and you know, you can't see the fact that he's a bum and he can't hold a job and he can't do anything right and has no good relation. There's no future with that guy, but because he promises some kind of earthly affection, we can fall into that seductive spirit and trouble our own soul. Again, I want to say to you, that can be overcome and that God can heal, but better to flee from that and avoid it altogether than to fall into it and then have to try and make your way back from that. Okay, so devices. A lot of things there. Hopefully you took some notes. I want to close with our authority. There's a story of a preacher of old, Smith Wigglesworth. He had ministered for 36 hours of continuous ministry there. He went to bed. He fell asleep quickly. And after about 30 minutes, when he was in a deep sleep, he was awakened by the sensation of someone shaking his bed. He opened his eyes and he saw the devil at the foot of his bed. And after he cleared his eyes, he said, oh, it's only you, devil. And he rolled back and he went to bed. Right? See, we shouldn't be intimidated by the devil as Christians. I know I'm focused on what he can do and how he's coming after us, but we shouldn't be intimidated by him, but we need to stand in the authority the Lord Jesus has given us. And in Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not be strong in you. It's not you that's going to overcome the devil by yourself. It's you in God that will overcome the devil. Remember, Jesus said, I give you all authority over Satan, over his demonic forces. He said there, you'll be able to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's God's promise. James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Corinthians 13:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And you are familiar with Isaiah 54:17 that says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Right? And it says more in that verse, but there's a promise there that doesn't matter what weapon the enemy makes for you, he's custom building that enemy for you, but God says doesn't matter what he creates to get you down, it won't prosper against you, and it's all about being in the Lord. And I hope you're more aware of at least some of these devil's main devices and that you counter them with the weapons and tactics God has given you to overcome. And I want us to bow our heads tonight. We're going to close in a word of prayer. We have authority over the enemy. He thought that he won when he caused man to sin. To a degree he did. The Bible says we're all sinners. But listen, Jesus Christ has overcome the world, he's overcome the devil, and we can overcome too by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're here this evening and you're not right with God and you've been under the control of the enemy, the devil has been winning in your life, controlling you through the lusts of the flesh. I want to say to you tonight, Jesus Christ can break his power, his hold over your life. You can be set free tonight when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You can be delivered from his evil clutches. And you can walk in freedom. Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood to pay for your sins. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb tonight. And maybe here you're unsaved. Maybe you're backslidden and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. And you put your hand up tonight. Say, yeah, that's me, Pastor. I want to get my heart right with God. I want to pray. I want to receive Jesus. Unsaved or backslidden. You need Christ. You'd raise your hand tonight. Hallelujah. I need Jesus, Pastor. I want forgiveness for my sins. He will break the power of hell over your life tonight. Unsaved. You're not a Christian. You have no confidence that you're going to go to heaven. But you want that. You want forgiveness for your sins. And you'd raise your hand this evening. Hallelujah. Anyone here? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to trust that everyone here, you're right with Jesus Christ. I want to change the call. Oh, okay, I see the hand. Thank you, sister. Amen. If you want to pray. Sister, if you want to pray, come down the front. Just come on up. If you put your hand up, come down. Come and find a place to pray. Get come and pray with them. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. As they're praying, I want to speak to believers here this evening. What device has the enemy been using against you? Has it been discouragement? Have you been getting discouraged in your life? Is there some kind of evil that you're tempted with in your thoughts, in your speech, your actions? Are you playing the victim or victimizing others? Is it isolation? Are there curses at work? Is there excess? You're caught up in money. Is there temptations for sexual sin and all of that going on? The device is aimed to bring you down, and you have to use the weapons God has given you to combat them. Amen. We're going to open this altar call, and if God's been speaking to you about any one or perhaps several of these issues, I want you to come find a place to pray. This altar is open. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's break the power, the strategies of hell. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. We've become aware of what the devil is using against us. And we're going to combat them through faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Conquer the power of hell against us. Lord, thank you tonight for what you're doing in our midst this evening. Thank you for exposing the enemy's works in this place for your people, God. Right now, God, through the power of Jesus' name, we cast down these imaginations. We will not let these weapons formed against us prosper, because you have given us power and authority and a way to overcome, Lord. We plead the blood over our hearts and minds. We take responsibility to action our faith in our circumstances in Jesus Christ. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Touch your people tonight. Cause the weapons of hell to be broken before your people tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Romo kida la la ba robo sara. Help your people to help in the name of Jesus. Deliver them. Deliver them. again. Say to God tonight, you say to God what it is that the devil's been aiming at you. And by faith, break that right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you finish praying, I want you to help us sing this song. He's Lord. Prayers before, but maybe you haven't. I want to break some generational curses that have perhaps been affecting our lives, and let's just clear the slate. Amen. Tonight, believe God for a clean slate and move on from there. And then I want to pray for a few other things. Hallelujah. I want to lead you in a prayer. Just say with me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
I thank you
for
saving my soul,
for
washing me in your precious blood, and for breaking the power of hell and the devil over my life. And right now, I take authority in Jesus' name to break every curse of the generations that has been released through my forefathers and foremothers. Every evil, every wickedness, all false religion and curses and witchcraft that has been, that has come through them, affecting me, I break it in Jesus' name. I forbid these things from having an impact over my life and my marriage and my family. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's give God praise. Father, curses there. Some of you, you've been struggling with discouragement. Maybe outwardly you've been happy and all of that, but on the inside, that's been the targeted weapon. And I specifically want to pray for those of you that have been that way. And it's a subtle enemy, right? But I believe God wants to help you and strengthen you through this time. You've been feeling discouraged. I want you to just come closer to me over here. Just come over here, and I want to pray for you. Anyone here, you've been discouraged in your faith. Doesn't mean you've been unfaithful. Doesn't mean that, you know, you're doing anything wrong. It's just, you know, man, I'm just down. And anyone else, you need prayer? Hallelujah. Just take a step forward so we can see. Okay.
Sure.
Hallelujah. All right. All right, praise God. I just want to pray for you all. Amen. Sounds like, looks like there's a few souls have been discouraged. Amen. The Bible says, well, it doesn't say, but we know that when the enemy is exposed, that's the first part of him being defeated. Hallelujah. And so, you know, God knows how to put the courage back in us. Okay? All right? So we're gonna pray. We're going to believe God for a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost upon your lives. Amen. Just pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you. You're seated on the throne.
Thank you.
You're seated on the throne.
You're in control.
You're in control.
And I recognize this weapon of discouragement
that
the devil has aimed against me.
Lord,
I will not be discouraged.
Lord, I will not be discouraged.
But I will look to you.
I will look to you.
And I will gain strength.
I will gain strength.
Because of faith in you.
Because of faith in you.
God, I put my foot on the devil.
God, I put my foot on the devil.
And over every strategy of his.
In the name of Jesus.
I choose to be encouraged. I believe you, God.
For a fresh touch of your spirit.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God, let's praise God. Father, touch us.
David encouraged himself in the Lord, and that's something that we need to keep doing. And we can look at our circumstances, we can say, okay, I know this isn't happening, and I'd like to see this and more of that and less of that. And we can see all the problems, but what we have to continually do is, you know what, God is working, and he's going to complete the work that he began in me. He authored our faith, and the Bible says he's going to finish our faith. Right? He'll perfect that which concerns us, the Bible says. He who began a good work in you will complete it.
Yes.
Right? And there's all these wonderful scriptures in the Bible that are there for us. When we feed on the scripture and on his truth, that we can gain that encouragement. So look to God and your faces will be radiant. Your heart will lift again. Amen.
Yes.
You don't have to stay down, defeated. God has given us the power to overcome. Thank you for letting me pray. If you're here tonight and you're suffering with breathing difficulties, you have issues breathing, I want to pray for you this evening. Anyone here, you're struggling with, you have breathing difficulties. If you're okay and you're breathing well, just take a step back.
Praise God, you need help. What's wrong, sister?
Oh, I'm just like going to be interested.
Okay, I want to pray for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just raise your hands to heaven. Just say with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your saving grace. Thank you, you're the Lord my healer. I cast out fear in the name of Jesus. I cast out infirmity in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus. I speak to my body.
To my chest.
You will breathe properly.
Yes.
My air passages will work as normal. I will have full breath in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, touch your right hand. Hallelujah. I want to pray for those tonight. One more here. You're having difficulty sleeping. You're being tormented in your sleep. It's not just, you know, you had too much food, but you're actually troubled. You're feeling like someone's bothering. You're having nightmares, perhaps, being tormented, and you want God to help you tonight. I want to pray for you this evening. Amen.
Amen. The devil doesn't fight fair. You know, he picks us in our weakest moments and he wants to trouble us. And we're gonna take authority over the enemy. Come across here. Come across. Hallelujah. Just take one more step this way. That's it.
Praise God.
You've been